Hi, and welcome to Day 12 of the Body You Deserve program. This is Tony Robbins.
Stop this. Get out of here.
Come on,
wait
Tony.
A second. This guy is crazy to talk. You're going to get your chance. Sit down, Dr. Booth. God, final day, and the guy's out of control. I guess he's into scarcity. He's afraid you're going to, it's the last day. You know how it goes. He thinks he's going to miss you and stuff. Dr. Booth, hang on. You'll be on mic here in just a minute or two. I just want to start out by welcoming you to our final day. You know what? It's not the final day. It's the beginning of a brand new life. Because what today represents is an unbelievable amount of commitment on your part to consistently seek out solutions, strategies, approaches to increase the quality of your life on the physical level and on the emotional level as well. So again, our congratulations to you for what you've already accomplished. And know that what you're really setting yourself up for is a new path, a new direction in your life. You know, the best metaphor I can give you is that when you start on this journey to a trim body, it's very, very similar to navigating a sailboat from like point A to point B, where you are to where you want to go. And a lot of people think, well, when you sail, you just go right from where you are to where you want to go. It's a straight line and that's it. Well, maybe. You know, on the days when the wind is at your back, you can set your sail in any old way and you'll move straight ahead. You're on a roll. It's easy. If you set your sail a specific way with a great strategy, you'll get there even quicker. But on some days, the wind's a crosswind. And that requires a different set of the sail to make it from point A to B, to get from where you are to where you want to go. On some days, the wind is a headwind. And a lot of people start thinking, hey, I'm never going to succeed on this day. I might as well give up. You're wrong. You're going right into the wind, but the only way you're going to get where you want to go is by zigzagging. An effective sailor knows that a headwind doesn't shut him down. He doesn't take his boat out of the water and just give up and say it's never going to work. The sailor accepts the headwind and realizes, hey, that's just part of the game today. It might be a little tougher day today. He zigzags his way to his destination. He keeps his sail full of wind the entire way. That's like keeping your state up the whole time. So on your journey to this light, healthy, vital body, you got to know you're going to have some great sailing days. You're going to have some tough days. You're going to have days that are tailwinds for you where you're on a major roll. You seem unstoppable. Food you used to eat just whips on by. You're not even slightly interested in it. And you're also going to have some days with some crosswinds and some days with headwinds. And it feels like, man, I feel like I'm back where I started from. That's natural. When you have the tailwind, when you're on a roll, use all the strategies and go like crazy. And acknowledge the progress you're making. There are some days you're going to make more progress than others. That's a natural part of getting from where you are to where you want to go. Don't beat yourself up because you didn't travel as far as you wanted in this one day. Remember, most people overestimate what they can do in a month and completely underestimate what they can do over a period of years. And you're here for the long run. So when the wind changes and you notice it's blowing from your side, that's nothing but a crosswind. You don't get upset about it. You just detect the changes, you alter your strategy, and you keep on going. There's also going to be some days when you're heading right into that headwind and just notice it. Don't give up. Don't feel overwhelmed. Just say, okay, this is a little tougher day to day. What I need to do is try a little different approach. And you have so many strategies in this program, you're going to find out you're doing a lot of things unconsciously. You're going to find yourself making corrections easily. You've got so many tools. Remember how many tools you have here. Just set your sail differently, move a little slower at times, a little steadier pace, and remember, you'll still get your goal if you're heading in the right direction. So I'm going to turn you over to Dr. Booth here for a few minutes because I want him to share with you what are some of the obstacles you may come up against along this route of creating the body you really deserve long term. After he's shared with you some of those potential obstacles so you can be aware of them and prepared for them, I'll pop back on here with you for a few moments and just share with you a simple process on how you can deal with some of those challenging times. And then we'll say goodbye and send you off to this brand new journey so you can begin to sail and enjoy not only the final result, but the process itself. So here's Dr. Nate Booth, and I'll be back with you in a few minutes.
Thanks again, Tony, and this time I hope I get to keep going. And as Tony mentioned, there are some challenging times out there that you'll want to really pay particular attention to. Let's go over three of the worst offenders right now with some ways that you can handle them. Number one is the get-together. I don't know about you, but I grew up in Iowa, and on every holiday, we got together. Meetings with friends, relatives, and business associates can be a challenge because there are a lot of strong eating cues occurring all at one time. Here's how you can handle it. Number one, as much as possible, plan ahead what you're going to eat and how much. When you have a plan of attack going into a situation like that, you're much more apt to eat appropriately. Number two, if the urge to eat inappropriately gets real strong, leave the get-together for a minute or two and collect your thoughts. Number three, use the deep breathing and relaxation skills you've been learning in the program. Number four, Remember your urge crunchers. Pick out a few of these urge crunchers that you really enjoy using and use them often. Number 5, maybe have some low-calorie substitutes available. Number 6, keep moving as much as possible. If the urge gets real strong, just get up and move, preferably outside somewhere. And number 7, watch out for those fat transplant thoughts. If any of those suckers happen to pop in your mind, change your physiology just like we did in that conditioning exercise and insert the appropriate goal-directed antidote thought. The second situation that can be a challenge is the good old night out. Going out on the town is a very strong eating signal for most people, and you can handle the night out the same way you handled the get-together with those same suggestions that I just went over. The third situation that can be a challenge is the crisis. We all know that they're going to happen. There's going to be business challenges. There's going to be personal challenges. There's going to be relationship challenges that pop up in everybody's life. This is not an excuse to overeat and undermove. This is a chance to really show what you're made of. And life is going to place these challenges in your path. So here are some suggestions for overcoming the crisis. Number 1, realize that overeating is not going to solve the challenge. It just creates another challenge. Number 2, use your deep breathing and relaxation skills to help you overcome any tension that might be involved. Number 3, remember your urge crunchers. Utilize the ones that work best for you. Number 4, when you get a strong urge to overeat in that crisis situation, it's extremely important you get up and just move. Remember, change your physiology. Your physiology is the quickest and easiest way to change your state and to pull yourself out of any kind of urge condition you might be in. Number 5, watch out for the relapse rationalizations. I deserve food. Any of those relapse rationalizations that might pop into your mind, when any of those pop into your mind, immediately change your physiology and change your thinking to the goal-directed antidote thoughts. And remember your identity as a person who handles challenges and moves on. And before I turn you over to Tony so he can wrap things up with you on the final tape here, I want to really congratulate you again for sticking with this program. I know that we've done many things in this program that have stretched you, and I hope you found that the stretch has been worth it. I hope that you found that when we've taken you outside your comfort zone, that it's opened new horizons for you, because this program is not just about losing weight. It's about living life to the fullest. And I'm really honored to have worked with Tony on the creation of this program. And until you reach that body you deserve, keep that momentum going. Now, once again, here's Tony.
Thanks, Nate. And I also want to take a moment and thank you for all the effort you put into this program so that together we could provide the kind of resources that the person listening right now is able to have access to. Let's pick it up right where he's left off with us, which he's shown us some of the areas where we may have some challenges. So let's say you find yourself in one of those challenging situations, one of those challenging times. What do you do? Well, let's look at 4 quick steps to troubleshoot any challenging time. These are very simple, very clear. We call them FIP because it stands for F-I-P-P. And here is step number 1. You find yourself in a challenging time. How do you troubleshoot it? Step number 1, forgive yourself. You know, what's the first thing you do when you find yourself doing something wrong? You start beating yourself up. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't usually get real inspired to make things better when I feel like I'm beating myself up. I usually feel like frustrated or overwhelmed or mad or, you know, just like I feel like sometimes like I just can't turn it around. Have you ever been in that place? The best way to cure that is give yourself a little encouragement. Give yourself a love. Get off your own case. The world will give you enough intensity without you jumping all over yourself. Does this mean don't hold yourself to a high standard? Absolutely not. It just means don't excessively give yourself pain. Because when we give ourselves too much pain, pretty soon our brain says, well, why should I even try? I get pain for even trying. And I get pain no matter what I do. And that's how we get into learned helplessness. So you find yourself making a mistake. One, forgive yourself. You know, it's not the end of the world. It's not necessary for you to be perfect during this program. You're a human being. And you're going to mess up every once in a while. So forgive yourself and move on. Does not mean forgive yourself and lower your standard, however. I want to make that point very clear. I'm not saying, oh, well, I did that. It's okay. It's not okay. It's not what I stand for. It's not what I'm about. But you know what? I messed up one time here. All that matters is right now I'm going to get back on there. I'm going to raise my standard, and I'm going to do the right thing. So there's a difference between lowering your standards by forgiving yourself or just forgiving yourself for being a human being and then immediately focusing on how to make it better and raising your standard again. And one of the ways you can forgive yourself is to remember that consistency is the key. It's not what you do once in a while. It's what you do consistently that shapes your destiny. Consistency creates excellence. And what we're looking for in this program is a consistent lifestyle. So if you vary every now and then, don't beat yourself up. Get right back on track. And how do you do that? Go to step number two of FIP. Second way to troubleshoot. Investigate the situation. What are the triggers that were up at the time you overate or ate some food that wasn't really good for you? What was it? Who were you around? What were you noticing? What was the environment? What location? What activity? What people? What occasion? What were the mood cues that put you in this, that gave you the signal to overeat? What were the emotions you were trying to get by eating at that time? What was your mental focus at that time? What questions were you asking? How were you justifying yourself? You know, were there any of those fat transplant thoughts lurking in your brain at that time? So get curious is the key. If you get really curious about what happened and you really investigate it, two things are going to happen. Your awareness is going to increase, and with that awareness, you're less likely to go into the pattern unconsciously. You know what I mean? The old way where it just happens, you go, oh my gosh, what did I do? You're going to know what you did, and you're going to know how you did it. That extra sensitivity breaks the pattern. And also, as you investigate the situation, I can promise you, you'll probably link a little pain to what you did. You'll say, oh my goodness, I can see this. This doesn't work. And that little bit of pain will push you to make a change. It'll give you some leverage. Step number three, let's say you now know what made it happen. Plan for the next time. You know, if you've had a situation that triggered you overeat, that's more than likely going to occur in a similar way sometime in the future. So based on your investigation, how are you going to handle the situation much better next time? How can you avoid or how can you change some of the external cues? Or how can you change your mental focus or the way you're using your physiology so you don't get caught up in this pattern again? And one of the ways, of course, to do that is also remind yourself what are some of the urge crunchers you can use. Remember the I can do it, all the triggers we gave you? Or maybe you need to do a compulsion blowout for yourself or a swish pattern on yourself. Or maybe you need to take a look at your rules. You've got so many tools. Now get a plan in your mind, a specific plan of how you're going to deal with the same situation much more effectively in the future, and also decide how you're going to reward yourself the next time you do it well. Then you'll have something to look forward to. It's like when the problem comes up, you look forward to it. You say, yeah, I'm going to handle this and reward myself for handling it. Now, don't reward yourself with food. Come up with a different way. And finally, step number four of the FIP pattern, the way to troubleshoot any challenging time, is practice your new plan mentally. In other words, rehearse again and again dealing with this challenging time successfully. As simplistic as it sounds, when we rehearse in our mind, we've got a plan and we've in our mind actually lived it, where we felt fully associated, where we've created not only the mental imagery, but we feel like we've actually gone through in an associated way an experience that we've dealt with it. We've changed our feelings, changed our emotions, and made new choices and felt the pride and the joy and the pleasure that come from it. We condition ourselves to do it automatically in the future. The key here is to vividly see, hear, and feel yourself dealing with a situation successfully in the future and make it real to yourself. And then do the ultimate thing. What is the sixth step in our six-step program here? The step you're going to now. Test it. Seek out this very situation that used to give you trouble and confront it and conquer it. Do it right away while you're in a peak state. If you'll do this, you'll find out this FIP plan really works. It'll help you not just deal with the challenges of today, but it'll set you up with a set of patterns that'll cause these to not even be challenging times in your future. And by the way, you'll find in your workbook that there are three blank troubleshooting worksheets for you to use. So these are great sample sheets. Use these anytime in the coming weeks that you find yourself in a challenging situation. Pull them out and allow them to guide you through this process of making the changes that are necessary. Now, what else can you do if you're running into challenging times? You're going to turn on the video. There's an end section there that I did for you called If Things Get Challenging. In the weeks ahead, if things really do get tough, if you're experiencing a strong challenge, you feel yourself sliding back, immediately go to that videotape and watch that section, then come back to this audio tape and review the FIP program. Use it for yourself. It only takes a few minutes to make a quality change. You might say, well, what happens if I just completely go off the program for a while? If you do have what some people like to call a relapse for a day or two or whatever period of time along the way, you just want to understand something. This is an opportunity for you to have a lesson. There's a lesson you've got to learn here so you don't have to deal with this again. Life sticks challenges in front of you, and it's your job to overcome the challenge and develop the muscle or the understanding or the ability to become something more. See, this program is not set up so you'll never have another challenge the rest of your life. All it's done is give you more resources and guide you step by step on what to do to make it work. But in life, there are going to be challenges, going to be problems. I'll never forget when I met Norman Vincent Peale. The man is 92 years old, traveling around this country, around the world, sharing with people how to take control of their lives. In fact, I told my wife, Becky, I said, honey, just imagine, we only have 60 more years of this. The importance of the matter is this man is traveling around the world sharing with people that their biggest gift on earth is a problem. And one man came up to him and talked to him about all these problems he had, and he looked at him, and you know what he said to the man? He said, you lucky person, you. He said something we've all heard for years. He's the one who came up with the phrase in the first place. He said, the only people who don't have problems live in cemeteries. And then I'd heard that so many times before, but never in his tonality and that volume and intensity with a sparkle in his eye and the sense of truth that comes through in his voice. And then he added something I hadn't heard before. He said, in fact, he said, if the people without problems are in cemeteries, he said, then problems are probably a sign of life. He said, in fact, if you don't have any problems, I suggest you go home tonight and you pray to God and say, God, don't you trust me? Because he says, if you don't have any problems, maybe you're about to leave. I thought, well, that's a pretty dramatic way of looking at things. He said, problems are your best friends. In fact, he shared a story about years ago, many years ago, when he knew Gene Tunney. And Gene Tunney was the world heavyweight champion in boxing at the time. And he said to Gene, he said, Gene, how do you get a body like that? He said, Gene turned to him and said, you really want to know or are you just asking? He said, no, I really want to know. He said, every day I push against tremendous resistance, and that sculpts these muscles. And he said it with such pride. Norman said he just smiled from ear to ear. He said he thought about it a lot, and he said maybe that's how we develop spiritual muscles. By pushing against tremendous problems, we sculpt our soul. What a wonderful approach. Maybe this little fat issue you've dealt with here was just the first step in you taking your life to a new level. And I'll tell you what you got to do now. I'll tell you what you got to focus on. Get beyond the fat issue. It's not even a part of your life. Focus purely on what you want, not what you fear anymore, and start to find something else to put all your attention into. Because you know what? Some people have been focusing on fat and food for so long, they have nothing else to focus on. What do you got to focus on now with all this free time you're going to have, not worrying about being overweight? Maybe you can start focusing on your relationship or on your business and making it better, or something you can contribute to your community, or maybe something you're going to do with your family, your kids. I really want you to start creating that compelling future. So as we wrap up this time together, know that this is not the end, but the beginning. The beginning of a new and greater quality of life and something you've given yourself. And I know I speak for Nate and myself in thanking you personally for your commitment, for your energy, for sticking with this, and for making whatever progress you've already made. But I also want to challenge you. Raise your standards now for your whole life. Raise your standards on what you're going to spend your time and energy on. Food just isn't it. There are far better ways to entertain yourself. There are far better ways to change your emotions. There are far better ways to live your life. Make food something that you use for nourishment, for fuel, but it's not the focus. Make the focus contribution. Make the focus growth. Remember, in the end, what we get, including the body we deserve, that's not what's going to make us happy. Who we become as people, that's the ultimate reward. So we wish for you an incredible journey. A journey filled with challenges, a journey filled with opportunity, and a journey filled with growth. And I hope you'll stay in touch with us and let us know the results you've created in your own life. Because that's what we're doing this for. Send us a letter and tell us what happened. Show us maybe a picture of your before and after so that we can celebrate your success with you. And again, thank you for the privilege of letting me be your coach during this time. I hope I get a chance to meet you personally sometime in the future. Till then, though, make sure you enjoy this body you deserve, the body you've created. And every day, remember to live with passion.